About our atmosphere. I'm going to start off with a little science lesson. But the atmosphere is divided into layers, including the troposphere, where we live. That's where actually most of the weather occurs. The stratosphere, which contains the ozone layer, which absorbs most of the sun's harmful ultraviolet radiation. And without this atmospheric protection, which protects us from the sun's UV rays, we would have severe sunburns, more severe than what we've already experienced. Then we have the mesosphere, which protects Earth from most meteors and space rocks by burning them up as they enter the atmosphere. Following that, the thermosphere and the exosphere, which goes then into outer space. Now, the densest part of the atmosphere only extends about 20 kilometers, about 12.4 miles above the ground. And this is a very thin slice compared to the diameter of the Earth, which is about 12,500 kilometers or 7,750 miles. You've noticed as you ascend in altitude, the air pressure and oxygen levels decrease, which is why people experience altitude sickness at high elevations. So for those of you who have climbed Mount Everest, you would know that it is difficult to breathe without an oxygen mask. The atmosphere holds the all-important oxygen that all living organisms need to breathe, primarily made up of 78% nitrogen, 21% oxygen, with trace amounts of other gases like carbon dioxide and argon. Carbon dioxide, a trace gas in the atmosphere, traps heat from the sun, contributing to the planet's temperature regulation, also known as the greenhouse effect. The composition of the atmosphere has changed over time due to volcanic activity and microbial life. The atmosphere protects us from deadly radiation from space and helps to moderate our temperature by preventing sunlight from reaching Earth's surface, which would make things very hot. We notice that as the years go by, the planet is getting hotter and hotter. The atmosphere still traps heat near Earth's surface, which helps produce pleasant climates. Without an atmosphere, life on Earth could not exist as we know it, because then it would be too cold in regions near the poles and too hot at more equatorial latitudes. For those of you who have a science test coming up, you just aced it. Why am I talking about this? First of all, we see here how God's perfect plan in creating our atmosphere is for our survival, where planet Earth is the only planet created in this way in which the atmosphere and its layers are explained, which is vital for our physical existence. And like I said, we see, however, that the world is changing, and extreme events occur more frequently each year that passes. We also know what the Bible prophesies for this planet in the near future, and that mankind, due to their sinful carnal nature under the rule of Satan, who is the god of this world, they will prepare themselves for a catastrophic world war. And if not for Christ intervening, the whole world in which we live in would be utterly destroyed, and everything would die. We can read about this in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. Matthew 24, verse 21. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Verse 22, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. I'll stop there. So we see that this physical existence we all experience right now is only temporary. And we have to rely on God completely, since our lives are in His hands. We are alive due to God's perfect creation of this planet and our atmosphere, where we are able to breathe. And that is something we shouldn't take for granted, something so simple like that. We just celebrated God's wonderful Feast of Tabernacles with God's people, our family, which is something I spoke about at the feast in Germany. God's people is our family. We are a family, and we should treat each other in that way. God chose us out of this world as begotten members of his family. For everyone who was baptized to be a part of that, and we all celebrated together, and it was a wonderful atmosphere, which pictures what the future would be like, where we will all live in joy, peace, and harmony, with no pain, no suffering, no worry, no doubt. During that time, celebrating the feast, we let go of everything out there in the world, and we focused on the feast. And this was a special, joyful atmosphere with God's people of like mind, which is also necessary for our survival. To be in God's family is our ultimate goal as we live our physical lives. We depend on God to keep us alive, while also doing our part to live righteously and obediently. The atmosphere of this world is deteriorating more and more, and not just in a physical standpoint. Satan is here to deceive and to destroy, and he has deceived the whole world through his unique skill, which we ourselves have fallen victim to, and we sometimes may still. Notice Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. You once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, that is, Satan the devil, who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Satan's goal is to manipulate mankind, to hate and to kill each other, to destroy this world. And in particular, he wants to destroy us, God's people, any way he can, by using people of this world to hate those who obey God, as Matthew 10:22 reveals. We are God's people, but we don't need to worry as long as we have God on our side, because he who endures until the end will be saved. It is not mankind that we are fighting. Notice Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Ephesians 6 verse 12, we do not wrestle, we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's a spiritual warfare that we are constantly fighting against Satan. And what are we to do? How do we protect ourselves from that? See in the previous verse, in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the evil schemes or the unique tactics, whatever you may put in there, of the devil. And this is where we need to stay vigilant and focused, even now, after the feast. The atmosphere we experienced at the feast was everything that this current world is not. We experienced a positive atmosphere with joy and peace, spiritual food to prepare us for what the future holds. And preparation means being ready. 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. That includes his atmosphere. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Something we talked about a lot during the feast of what is going to happen in the future. Verse 13, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. The day of the Lord will be a frightful time for the world. But this is something we in the church look forward to. For all the things will be made new, as Revelation 21 also describes. God will replace this current earthly atmosphere with a new atmosphere, unlike mankind has ever witnessed. Doesn't that sound exciting? Again, let us not take for granted what God has planned for you and me, and the hope that is laid out before us. Thank God that we are alive now, so we can be alive later.